Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Ben. And thank you, Healing Springs Church. I'm so grateful to God that you have allowed me to come again this year. Thank you. And it's good to see Pastor O. We went to university together. And it's always a pleasure to see you whenever I'm here. I want to say it's a pleasure to be part of what God is doing here. I've heard the testimonies and they've made my heart glad. Pastor Ben, we go way back, and I think it's a blessing to have Pastor Ben and Pastor Jimmy as pastors here. I always say if I was in Basingstoke, I would be in this church. I love this church. I love the spirit of this church. I love the people in this church. I love the worship. The worship is fantastic. The Lord bless you. Thank you for offering yourself to be used of God to help us in worship. And I've been here since Friday. We've been having some great time in the presence of God, just considering the gifts of the Spirit. And I like to always listen to testimonies of what God is doing. And on Saturday, we took some testimonies. And someone said, you know, when I got home, I sensed the Spirit of the Lord upon me, and I prayed longer than I ever prayed in the Spirit. That gives me joy. Another person says, I was looking for something. They've looked over everywhere, and because of the discussions we've been having, may had to say, you know what, I'm going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show me where it is. And you know what? The Lord showed her where it was. And another person says, you know, I was going to pray usually as I would pray in my normal language, but I felt the Lord compelling me to pray in the Spirit. And she prayed in the Spirit and began to hear God's word for herself and her family. This gives me joy. You know, I wish I could take some more testimonies about what happened on Saturday. That's yesterday. And God does so many awesome things in our lives. He loves us. And I believe that that's why I'm here today, to speak to you about the love of God for you. Really, God loves us. God uses us to love one another. We are His hands and feet. We are the one that we express God's love physically to you. And so I want to let you know that God loves you so much. Can you help me tell the neighbor, God loves you so much. Amen. Amen. He does. He's been in my life since 1983. That's when I gave my life to Jesus. That tells you about my age, right? You kind of guess my. Well, you don't know how old I was then, anyway. Yeah, that's when I began this walk with Him, and it has been a walk of faith. And the ministry of Jesus to my life at that age was so real that it carried me through a difficult time 3 years later when my mom was shot and killed. And I could sense the presence of God through that time. That's why I'm ready to go to the ends of the earth to declare to everybody that Jesus is real and He loves you. I believe it, and I know it, and I've experienced Him over and over again. And you know, that time, everything went upside down in our family. And eventually we got through that. And the Lord took me miraculously from Nigeria to Canada. Miraculously. There's no way I could have done it. My parents didn't have money. But the Lord provided a situation. Well, maybe I should share the situation. Maybe I shared it with you before, but maybe not. Anyway, I felt that I wanted to do my master's in engineering in Canada, and I applied and I got admission, but there was no money. And I told my dad about it, and he said, well, we'll see what we can do. But then God moved miraculously at that point. He was doing a program, a receivership. So they're settling problems between two companies. And in order to, when they do that, they put all the money in the accountant's account. So they put all their money, because they're going to liquidate, they put all the money in my dad's account. And he gave me the bank statement. So that's how I got my visa. I took the bank statement because it was this account. The money was there. And I got my Canadian visa based on the money that is not my dad's. And after that, the Lord provided a little money for me to get to Canada. I told my dad, once I appear in Canada, don't forget about me. God is going to take care of this stuff. And it's a long story, but he took care of it from there. Favor upon favor, and I'm here today. In 2007, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, your increase is in my work. You're going to stop your business that you are running, and you're going to give your heart totally to serving me. And I asked the Lord at that time, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to buy milk for the children? This is not Nigeria. You don't go to your neighbor and say, can I have some stuff? This is Canada. And the Lord said, I will take care of you. Man, it was hard at the beginning. But he provided. He provided. And in 2017, I was doing my stuff. Well, before 2017, 2014, the Lord said to us, you go back to Nigeria and plant a church in Nigeria. And my wife said, what are you talking? You let's pray again. And so we prayed again. And I just told the Lord, Lord, make her know what you're saying. You gave this woman to me to work with me. We are working together. I'm not going to go unless you tell her. And then a few months later, she said, the Lord told me we are going. So we went. We packed all our stuff, sold everything we had, got on the plane, put some stuff on the ship, and we went in Kuje, Abuja. We didn't go to the center of Abuja. We went to the outskirts of Abuja. There was no power. Everything was really weird, different. But God went with us. I'm sharing all this to tell you that God loves you. That's all I'm doing. And that's what I've come to do today, to let you know that God is interested in your life. God is interested in your life so that you can be a body for Him, to minister love and life to people around. That's what He needs you for. He wants to take over your life so that you can go around be like Him around. And so we went to Abuja in 2014 to Kuje, and we were there planting the church. And then after 3 years of planting the church, I was in church one day, and then suddenly I began to feel weakness on my right side. I thought it was a joke. I walked around, you know. In my heart, I knew that this could be a stroke, but I said, no, how can I have a stroke at 40-something? That's not possible. But to cut long story short, the next morning, I couldn't walk. I was on a wheelchair. The whole of my right side was paralyzed. Well, weak. Not paralyzed. Weak. Because I couldn't do anything with it. And in that moment, the Lord said to my heart, you will go through this. And you will come out of it. But you will not be the same person. And that gave me comfort. That's why I say to you, the Lord loves you. He knows everything that's going to happen to you. He knows you before you were born, and He knows you to the end of your life, and He cares about the details of your life. And He said that to me. He said, you will go through this, you recover, but you will not be the same person again. And I tell you, I'm not the same. Not at all. Not at all. After a couple of weeks in the hospital, I came out. I was different. When I came to church, everybody was in tears. They couldn't believe it, that the pastor that they know had become so deformed, so to say. Couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. But the Lord said to me, this is what you're going to go through, because I want to work on you. I want to take you to the next level. And He kept on working on me. And when we went to Nigeria, to Canada, to just rest and recover, people asked me, are you going back to Nigeria? I said, why not? Why are we not going back? God never told us to leave. Because that's where He wanted us to be. So we went back to Nigeria, and the Lord began to do a deep work in the hearts of the people. And He's still doing it. He's still doing it. And so I'm a testimony And I'm sharing this with you so that you know that whatever I share with you today, I'm not sharing because Pastor Ben wants me to share it. I'm sharing because the Lord loves you. I'm sharing it because the Lord wants you to trust Him with your life. And if all of us will trust Him with our lives, and then we'll come together like this on a Sunday, then it's so beautiful because He loves on us through each other. That's why I was so happy when I saw the children of God just worshiping. I felt the love of God just coming to me. I felt God was just loving on me. And I loved them back. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. So I think we're in a very good place. The very presence of the Lord is right here. And He has said to me for Healing Springs Church that it's taking you to the next phase. This next phase of your work with Him. That's why I was happy when I heard the word from sister there that the Lord has put a scepter of authority over you. Because when I was praying, the Lord opened my eyes to see people just getting ready to receive the baton to move on to the next level. So I know that the Lord has laid some things in your hands, and you're just going to take it and move forward and take this city for Him. He's going to call you to bring in all His people into the church, so that we can join together and serve Him together. Amen. And so I'm going to be sharing on more fruitfulness, because that's what God wants to bring upon each one of us in this church. The Lord opened my eyes to see the parable of the sower in a new way. And I'm going to share it with you this morning. And I pray it blesses you. I believe it will. I believe it will. And I believe that God is healing some people already. God is already stirring some hearts, refreshing you. I know all the things He showed me, and I believe that we will see them today in Jesus' name. Sometimes like this, I wish I could spend all day just pouring the love of God on you. You know, sometimes I wish I could just spend 1 hour on each person, just sharing with you how God loves you personally. That's how intense His love is for you. He doesn't see us as a group. I hope you know that. The Lord doesn't see us as a group. He sees us as individuals. Even if you don't care about Him, He still knows you and cares about you. Even when you're saying, I don't know what He's doing, I don't understand what they are doing here, I've never seen all this before, He knows that you are going to be here today, and He has prepared something for you. Hallelujah. And for those of us that have been with Him for years, He still has a fresh word for each one of us. And I believe that you will leave here transformed in the name of Jesus. So thank you. Thank you for being here. Father, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the gift that you have given to this church and the pastors and the family. Thank you for everyone that you have used to work in this family to serve. Thank you for this opportunity to celebrate 7 years of your faithfulness and of your love. As we look at your word, I pray that it will bring life to each one of us. It will challenge us, to stir us up. I pray that people will see you. Every one of us will see you in a new way. We'll experience your love in a new way. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 to 9, and verse 13 to 20. I know that you may not be able to take in everything that we're going to share today. I really want to encourage you to go over the message on the website. The church has a wonderful website. I hope you've all seen it. And if you've not, go there. I've been there a few times, and I always enjoy the fact that I can listen to what's going on here, even when I'm not here. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, from verse 3. I'll read quickly. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on the stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then I want you to skip to verse 13. And let's read the interpretation. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on the stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when the tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. So that's the story. This guy goes around throwing seeds around. I throw some on the wayside, throw some on the rocky ground, throw some among thorns, and throw some on good soil. And all this while I would read that scripture, to me, I would understand it like I'm the one preaching the gospel, and I expect that when I preach the gospel, some will hear it, some will not. Some the devil will steal it from them. Some will hear it, get it, and then lose it. Some will put it among the thorns. And I understood it that way. And it can be interpreted that way. But the Lord opened my eyes to see something about that that's a little bit deeper. Because it's a key to interpreting all the parables. And that's the fact that when the Lord put out the word, when the sower put out the word, it says the sower. So it's not a sower, so it's the sower. And when he put out the word, Jesus is actually the word. I began to see that. And that the word that was put out there is Jesus reaching out to each individual, wanting to connect with your life so that you and Jesus can begin to produce fruit. That's the word. That's the way the Lord opened my eyes to see that scripture. That every one of us, we can be in this state, each of these states. We can start, and that's how I started, I believe, when I was younger. The word comes, I don't understand it, the enemy steals it. But there comes a time where you get the word, and it makes some sense to you, and you receive it. And the Lord said to me that there are many in the church like that. The first set of people, they come to church like this. We speak the truth about Jesus to them. We speak the truth about the love of Jesus. We share with you that if you are under the weight of guilt, there's only one way to get out of it. It's by the blood of Jesus. But it doesn't make any sense. The enemy comes and says, it doesn't work for you. And that's how they don't receive Jesus and they don't receive life. And it's okay. There are people like that. We hope that nobody stays like that. But people are like that. And we pray that you move on. The second set of people, and I've been there, where we get the word, it makes sense to us, and we receive him because of the things that he gives. The things. And that's, I think that's how I first met Jesus. I think so. When I was young, when I was about 8 years old, and the Lord said to, the Sunday school teacher said, would you like to have Jesus as your friend and you not be naughty anymore? And I said, yes, I want that. That's how I first met Jesus, I believe. But thank God I didn't stay like that, because as soon as I came forward and I met with him, something changed in me. I actually felt that when I went to school the next day, I loved the people that I didn't love before. So I realized that something has changed in me. Even though I came to him for what he was going to give me, stop making me nudge, because I was being beaten every day. In short, to the point that I thought, these parents are not my parents. They beat me too much. But they beat me because I won't do anything. Do the dishes. I will go play soccer until I hear the car coming. Then I will say, oh, dishes. Get it. Clean the floor, I'll forget. And then they will come and they give it to me. Then I concluded, these are not my parents. Anyway. So when someone said that there's a solution to that, you won't get flogged anymore, you won't be naughty anymore, I came to Jesus for the things. But a lot of people stop there. They come because they have a problem and the pastor tells them Jesus will solve the problem. And it's true, he will solve the problem, but that's not enough. Because what happens is that when persecution comes, when trials come, you give up. You say, no, this is not working. I have written some things down that make you know that this the level that you are in right now. So you see Jesus and Christianity as an excellent source of wisdom, if that's how you see Jesus. It's a good place. It's a place to start. It's not the place to stop. It's a place to start. You see Jesus as your healer, your provider, as you live your life. You have your life and Jesus comes and helps you from time to time. That's how you see him. You see Jesus as one who ensures that when you die, after living your life on earth, you go to heaven, not to hell. You know, from time to time, you find yourself wondering, why is the prayer not working? Why is it not helping me with this? Why is it not helping with that? That's the level. Those are some symptoms. Those are some things that you go through when you are at that level of the shallow soil. You love Jesus. You receive him because of what he gives you. And it's a place to start, but it's not a place to stop. Because if you stop there, pressure will come. Trouble will come. And you'll find that you can't stand. And I've heard stories about that. Someone says, my mom had cancer, and we prayed, and she wasn't healed. Then I concluded there's no God. Yeah, it happens. Because they thought and they received him as someone who solves their problem. And it's a problem. It's in church. Good number of people in the church, maybe some people here today are like that. You have assumed that God is the one who solves all the problems. That's not the way it is. I told you that God opened my eyes to see that what the word does is it comes and joins with the earth and produces a plant that produces more seed. So it's not looking to come and solve problems. It's looking to come and become your life. Then it goes on and says there's the ones that fall on the place where there are thorns. And the Lord opened my eyes to see that these are really Christians who have received them, been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are doing well. But what one thing that the Lord showed me is that you can be in this place and you have received the Lord. You know that he is your life, not just for the things he gives, but for the life he gives. You understand that. You understand that Jesus is Lord. Jesus loves me. You relate with him as the owner of your life. You actually know that he's God. He loves you. And you are filled with his Spirit. But there's something there. When you look at your life, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, you cannot point to one soul who is saved and discipled. You cannot. You look, you think, let the name come. John, is there any John? Lucy? They got saved because of your ministry and they are now stronger, or they didn't get saved because of you met them and because of God's work in your life, the person is now strong and the Lord matured. You can't find that. That's the people on the thorny. They are Christians. They have the life of God, but they have no fruit. No fruit. And the Lord wants me to sound a big alarm that if you have been saved for 2 years and you can't find anybody that you are working on to get stronger, to disciple, you have a problem. You are in the thorny ground. There's no fruit. Now, the good news about this is that you can't hide from this. If you have fruit, you will see them. If you don't have, you won't see them. And if you don't have, don't feel bad. That's why there's a message today. There's a way out. Amen. I'll read you some of the symptoms of that. The way this life is. Some other things. I've said some. So they make great effort to live right and bring others to Christ. They make effort. Great effort. They attend church regularly, serve in the church, even become ministers in the church. But they look back and there's no fruit. If there's fruit, it's very little. No mature Christian that they have said, this is the one that the Lord helped me. They make decisions based on the cares of this world. They marry based on the cares of this world. They choose, they make daily choices based on the deceitfulness of riches. They seem to have desires that they believe that Jesus is also interested in. And in fact, they believe that riches will make it easier for people to accept Jesus. Are you getting the point? We get to the point where we think that if only I can make more money, have a better car, look really better, more touched up and dressed up, wear a good suit, and I preach, it will make more impact. I've been there. I was there for years. You do a lot of activities, a lot. You set up stuff, do stuff. But when you look back over a few years, I use years. Months is already enough. But when you look at years and still no fruit. And you know what? I tell you, if we're going to be honest here, we can find people that have been saved for 25 years, not one. Isn't it sad? But it's real. It's real. It's real. But it's sad. Not one person. Some people go through 2, 3, 4, 5 years. They can't remember ever preaching, sharing their story of encounter with Jesus with anybody. For 5 good years. 3, 6, or 5 days times 5. I'm not the one that wrote the scripture. It's real. And the Lord said to share with you today that let's not stay there, please. It's not good. It's not what Jesus came to do. But there are people there. Why is that? Because of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches means because you have stuff or because you think you need stuff, it makes you to think that you're all right. Or because you have stuff, you think you're all right. You're not going anywhere with those stuff. And the cares of this world is when you don't have and you are trying to get all the while. Come, let's get to understand Christ some more. I'm busy, I'm working overtime. You work, you run over. No, children go here, they do soccer, they go here, they do hockey, they go here, they do basketball, then they play this music, then they play these drums, then they do math. Why? Hey. After all that, then you look at your life, there's no fruit. You have to balance that. This thing is good. But you got to balance it. Check every year. How many did I talk to about Jesus? How many got saved? Why are they not getting saved? What's wrong? Doesn't matter what church you go to. It's Jesus. Is this life producing other Jesuses? Is this life, have we become the prison guard of Jesus? You know, that's what the Lord began to say to me. It's like you become a prison guard to me. You're not letting me do my stuff in you. You just lock me up and throw the key off. No, let's not do that. Let's not lock Jesus up. Let's release him. And that's the last group of people. They receive Jesus as their life. As their life. They begin to cultivate a great relationship with Jesus. They begin to enjoy spending time with Jesus. They repent often and receive strength to overcome. They discover that Jesus must be the head of their life. I don't have time to unpack this. We could do this for a week. They consciously die to known personal ambitions and aspirations. They receive new progressive vision from Jesus. They are deeply satisfied with whatever Jesus offers as long as the relationship is unbroken. They experience Jesus in ways that surprise them as he ministers through them. That's the last set of people, and that's what I'm praying that the Lord will make all of us to become. The people that recognize that I've got all I'm going to get in life. I'm not looking for anything else. And he said, what's that? It's Jesus. What else do you want? He then lives the life through me. He then lives the life through me. Takes my life and makes it a fruitful tree that produces 30-folds, 60-folds, and 100-folds. That's progressive growth. That's progressive growth. I pray that the Lord would open your eyes to see this truth, that what we receive when we got saved is not pardon from sin alone. It's the very life of God dwelling within us. The very life of God. It must be expressed that way. What we are, when you say someone should give their life to Christ, what we are saying is receive the life of God. That life will kill your own life and then will be dominating your life. It must kill your life. I don't have the time to expatiate on that. But the truth is, anybody that's going around with two heads is a monster, not so? Do you guys do Halloween here? Do you have Halloween in the UK? When is it? 31st of October this month? Yeah, same everywhere. Okay, now if you have, you see a lot of monsters around that time. Two-headed, anything that has two heads is a monster. Yeah. So when we begin to relate with Jesus, one head has to be cut off. Either yours or Jesus' head. Many of us go around cutting Jesus' head off, yeah. We become the head, we rule him. We command him. That's why when he doesn't do something, we say, I don't want you anymore, go away. No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, I want to connect with your life and become your life. There's several scriptures that talk about that. I want to become your life. I want you to get to a place. And someone will say, where is Jesus? You say, here he is. That's the prayer I pray these days. I say, Lord, let it be so that when people meet me and they want to remember what happened, they said, I met somebody. It felt like I met with Jesus. I want them to meet with me and say something like, I don't know what, but you know what? Jesus did this in my life, but if I met some guy, I don't know his name anymore, but I know that after I met him, Jesus did this in my life. Because that's what he wants. And that's why he said those guys began to bring fruit. Because they stopped whatever their own thing was about. They put it aside and allowed the seed to produce. They allowed the seed. I want to allow Jesus to be Jesus. Every day and everywhere. You know, you can get to a point where you are full of joy all the time. Sometimes I wonder, Lord, why is this joy so much? How can you love somebody so much? How can this peace be so much? Sometimes I wake up and I say, there's nothing that I'm afraid of. How? Because he moves in you and tells you, I've got you covered. And you're not afraid of death, because if you die, there's no big difference. You've been with him all this while. You just be with him more. But when you don't have that, when that revelation is not clear, you'll be struggling. The cares of the world. Not that I'm saying you should not be rich or wealthy, but I'm saying it should never be the one that sponsors, motivates your decisions. Hallelujah. The decisions must be because of the love of Jesus that's in your life. I'm looking forward to the time we'll call somebody and say, we say, how's our brother John or somebody doing? Say, yeah, he's doing very well. He's doing very well. You go to his YouTube channel and see all the testimonies of what God is doing in his life. Also, he stopped being a businessman. Is he a priest or pastor now? He said, no. He's still doing his business. But whenever he goes on YouTube, people are blessed. People are transformed. Lives are being changed. That's what I'm expecting. Because we are living in a world where we are always creating content. This world now, this new world that we're living in, is a content-creating world. Everybody's creating content. I'm hoping that the content you are creating is changing lives. Reflecting Jesus. Amen. We're going to pray now because of time. And the first prayer point we're going to pray is, Lord, Help me to really recognize your life in me. Help me to recognize your life in me. Before you pray that prayer, we can open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 13 and verse 5. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, but to wrap up. Sorry. No, that's not the one. Where is that? Second Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says, Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? It is important to understand that if you don't have the life of Jesus in you, you just don't have it. You don't have it. And if you have it and you're not producing fruit, there's no fruit in your life, something is causing it. What is it? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire to have some other things apart from Jesus. There's nothing else. He is your life. He becomes your life. Let's go ahead and pray and say, Lord, help me today to recognize your presence in my life. Open my eyes to see the glory that is dwelling in me. Help me to know that I am a host to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. Let it sink deep within me. If you have not ever given your life to Jesus, and suddenly you feel like it, you sense that, you know what, I want that life. I really need the life of Jesus to help me, to be my life. You can accept him now. All you have to do is say this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that you love me. I also recognize that I've been doing my own stuff and sinning everywhere. I also know, unless you forgive me and help me, I'm completely separated from you and doomed for hell. But today, I've heard this message and I want your life. Put an end to that. My life, my stuff, my ambitions, take over my life. I receive your forgiveness and I receive new life. Go ahead. If that's you, pray that prayer just like I've done. You begin to sense something in your heart that you have been forgiven. The very life of Jesus comes and unites with yours, and you will not be the same again. For those of us that have known him, but you can recognize no fruit, you can recognize that you've not preached the gospel, shared your testimony of what Jesus did for you in salvation with anyone in the last 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, you recognize that. Go ahead and say, I'm sorry, Lord. I repent. I'm so sorry. Why? How can that be? How could you be so good to me and I'm not telling people? I'm sorry. I see my errors. And I'm sorry. From today, I make up my mind that your life will become my life. I surrender my ambitions, my goals, my dreams to you, and I take up whatever you give me back. I trust that whatever you give me will be way better than what I can come up with myself. I trust. Use me as I am. And I believe the Lord is healing somebody right here, right now. So begin to check areas that you were not finding, you had problems with, and you will begin to see that some healings are being done. Stick it in the name of Jesus. And for those of us that the Lord has begun to open your eyes, you know, you recognize that Jesus is in your heart, but maybe not like me, not as clearly as you it ought to be. Every day becomes clearer to me. And I, sometimes I'm in awe. I say, wow, You mean the creator of the universe. You are here. You are here. You are here. I bow before you. I surrender to you. Have your free will in me. Have your free will in me. I love you. I love you. I need you. I trust you. Go ahead and do that. That's what you are sensing in your spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you. I need you, says the Spirit of the Lord. I've designed a plan for you. And I've sought you. I've spoken to you. I've called you several times. But each time you give an excuse. Each time you say tomorrow. Let today be that tomorrow. Let me work my work in you. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I sense that there are a few people here. You've had some, I sense it in my spirit, you've had some really good time with the Lord, but in the past. It's in the past. You've had some really, really deep time with the Lord. And I, so you know you are the one that the Lord is referring to. You remember that feeling right now as you came in here. You felt that thing you felt before. And the Lord is saying, it's time to yield to it again. A fresh work. A fresh work in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for that. I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to yield. A deeper work is coming on you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then there are some people the Lord said to speak to you. There are some you have taken some steps and made some choices that are really wrong. They're negative, and the enemy has jumped on that to afflict you, to harass you, to oppress you. Now they are wrong, and the Lord knows that they are wrong, and you have repented. I'm talking about this particular people. You have repented, but you seem not to be able to move forward. And the Lord wants me to tell you, it's time to start again with me in a new way. But there's one thing that you need to do. You need to submit to your pastor. Because I sense that there are some of you that are not in this church. But those are in this church, you talk to your pastor. And discuss and receive healing and forgiveness and freedom. I sense the Lord saying, I want to do so much through you, but you have allowed the enemy to beat you with the past. No more. No more in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I speak healing to families, to homes. I speak healing. I speak life to your family. I sense the Lord saying to somebody, So a husband, I sense the Lord saying to a husband, I called you to display my love to your wife, but you have reversed the role. I called you to display my love to your wife, but you have reversed the role. She now is the one trying to show my love to you, where I have called you and I've made deep connections with you. Today, change it back and let her see how much I love her. Through you, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you. Thank you for what you've done. Perfect it in Jesus' name.